Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
Have you heard about the latest rage that is flowing through America? A lot of people are excited about it. A lot of people are doing it and participating in it. And it's the newest rage sport. Yes, I'm talking about pickleball, the great sport of pickleball. I hear a lot of fans out there. It's a crazy thing. In fact, it's so popular that over 50 million people in America have participated somewhere this last year, and it is growing. A lot of cities realize that this is really popular, so they are ripping up tennis courts and basketball courts and instituting new facilities. There's some commercial facilities that people are buying into. And tennis is kind of like waning, right? That's maybe one of the reasons why the pickleball paddle broke up with the tennis racket. Did you know why the pickleball paddle broke up with the tennis racket? The pickleball paddle thought there was too many strings attached to that relationship. So they departed, right. All right, so man, you're pretty smart. Okay, it's good. How many of you have played pickleball, right? Any fans out here? It's like, woohoo, yeah, pickleball players, right? Some of you have not. You might be a little shy. I've noticed that when people say, hey, you ought to try this new sport, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not sure. I never played it. I'm kind of out of shape. I don't know the rules. I'll make myself look foolish out there. I'd rather not. And it's like, oh, come on, give it a try. Everyone can do it, which I have figured out that's true. That almost everyone can do it. Even my wife can do it. She's like super athletic, but when she's tried it, she's like, hey, I can hit that ball. And there's usually someone about her level. And next thing you know, there's a smile. That's the next thing you know, that she's enjoying herself. And this is why pickleball is so attractive and popular. You don't have to be super athletic. You can be older, younger, because somewhere, some way, you can just kind of smash that little plastic ball over the net, and it's a good thing. In fact, at Faithbrook here, once in a while, we'll put on a pickleball event. Here's a picture this last winter. We had a great time. There's a lot of socialization. There's a little bit of competition. Some people really like competition. Experts tell us that it helps us physically, that we are moving around cognitively, helps us in our mind and our emotions. And next thing you know, you're making some friends. And there's a lot of laughter. It's kind of life-giving. I've even met couples in our church here that's like, oh, we got it on the schedule. Me and my wife, we have it on the weekly calendar that there's one sport that we can do together. There's other couples that we compete with. We've made friends with them, and it's even helped our marriage. Oh, the amazing things that pickleball can do in your life. And you're usually glad someone encouraged you to try it. Just try it once. And you engaged, and you got maybe hooked on it. Well, welcome back to our series called What Time Is It? I wish I could tell you that it was inspired by King Solomon, who said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, but it was really inspired by Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would gather up his teammates before every game and even ask them that question, what time is it? And they would yell back in unison, it's game time. In other words, let's go. Let's go forward. Now, this month in June at Faithbrook, we're just kind of challenging people who are Christ followers. You might not be a Christ follower yet. You might be interested or feel like God's seeking you and you're seeking him. But this is kind of like for us who need to answer that question, what time is it? So 2 weeks ago, part one, we talked about it's time to graduate. We brought up our senior high seniors, and we highlighted them about their graduation. We had some kids, they graduated. And we talked about, as Christians, many times we need to graduate. It's time to graduate, because a lot of times we stay as baby Christians. Or we might advance into adolescent Christianity, kind of inconsistent, not sure. But God calls us to graduate. There is a time to graduate into being mature Christians, fully adult, devoted Christianity and where that is should be in our life. Now, last week we talked about it's time to celebrate. It's our annual meeting. Our fiscal year was done, so we reported the good things that God has done this last year through Faithbrook. We were so grateful for God, what he was doing in people's lives. And this week, in the next 3 weeks, the answer to that question, what time is it, is it is time to go. It is time to go. Here, near, and far. Here, near, and far. And this morning, we're going to really dedicate this message about going near or personally. It's almost in the same context is that when we go near to someone we might know and invite them to pickleball, it's a personal engagement. It's a personal relationship or an invite. Did you know that God is counting on us and calling us as Christ followers to go and to engage and to invite personally? Now, we get this mandate, if you will, this challenge from what Christians call the Great Commission. The Great Commission. It's the words of Christ back in 29 of the Gospel of Matthew, it's the end of this gospel. Jesus has been ministering for 3 years. He's collected his disciples. He's went to the cross. He's risen. And now he's going to ascend. He's going to go back up to the Heavenly Father. And what he has left is these followers, these believers in Christ. And he's going to count on them to answer that call to go here, near, and far. And so Matthew records it this way. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then he gives them this guarantee, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It was a big assignment to go, to answer that call and make disciples. Now, let's explore this passage a little bit. The word disciples is kind of an insider's word. What does that mean? Disciple really means technically a student, someone who is learning. Sometimes they would call a follower, and in the Jewish tradition, there would be these teachers, these rabbis, and come follow me and be my student, my disciple. And some of the way, that's kind of what you do with pickleball. You become a student. So if you dare to try it and you get on that court, you're going to ask a couple of questions. What are the rules? Where do I stand? How do you score? And what's up with the kitchen thing? I'm supposed to stay out of the kitchen. I'm not sure about that. But you got to be a learner. You're really becoming a disciple. Same way what Jesus said, hey, go and make disciples personally, locally, and globally, and then baptize them. Now, baptism is an outward sign of what God did inwardly, that when Christ cleanses us from our sins through the cross and his grace, we are washed, we are cleansed, and we are made new in Christ Jesus. And so a lot of times we go publicly to confess that, to show that. We have a submersion, come up, new life, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, now I need you to teach them everything, to obey everything that I've taught you. Now this is where it gets tricky. Because a lot of Christ followers, this were like, I'm not sure how to teach. I'm not technically sound in the Bible. I didn't go to seminary. I don't have answers to some of those questions. And it's really intimidating to teach someone. And Jim, I don't know if you know, but it's kind of uncomfortable to talk to people about religion and faith, especially maybe in Jesus. You know, spirituality is a very private thing. So just to teach somebody, that seems pretty awkward. Now, I'd also submit that sometimes as Christians, if you're a Christian, when's the last time you made a disciple? When's the last time you influenced someone or taught someone? A lot of times Christians are like, I haven't done that. I don't know how to do it. I just leave the pastors to do that. Because a lot of times we're just too busy. I'm trying to disciple my own kids. I'm trying to do my own thing. I don't have time for that. Or frankly, pastor, minister, I'm just tired. I don't even want to do it. Well, if this is what God is calling us to do, to go and make disciples, then what can help us? Can I give you one little piece of advice and some helps? If the same way that you might make a disciple of pickleball, you could make a disciple of Christ. What I mean by that is, first of all, when you do that, you find someone to invite. You make a friend. You just don't go up to a stranger and say, hey, you want to meet me at the pickleball court? No. You have some kind of relationship, some kind of friendship, and that is the beginning. You have to find someone that you can maybe build into. It might be a neighbor. It might be someone on the sideline and you're watching your kids play soccer. It could be a coworker. It could be your hairstylist. It could be a coworker or a relative even. And your mission would be to love that person, invest in that person, talk to that person, and build that relationship. That's the beginning that God calls us to make disciples. That could be this person you start praying for, that their heart would be open. You might find some resistance. And then the second thing you're going to do is try to connect with them. Find an activity, find a hangout that you can do more than just have a conversation on the sideline or at the curb in your neighborhood. It would be, hey, let's hang out together. So let's go golfing together. Or hey, let's take a walk. Or let's bring your kids over to my house and let's have a play date. Or let's go to the Twins game together. Or next week, my wife and I, we're going to have a little barbecue on the deck. Come on over, bring your kids. Let's hang out. Let's connect with them in some activity or some way to ramp this up. This is a way to go and help make disciples for Christ. Now, there's an example in the New Testament of someone who did this. His name was Philip. And his story is in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Let me give you a little backdrop here. Jesus has been on the scene for over 3 years. He's just coming on the scene, excuse me. He is now going public with his ministry, and he wants to collect some disciples. He wants to collect some students. And so he's inviting people to follow him. One of these young men that followed him was Philip. And in verse 43 of John 1, it says it this way. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip evidently said, yes, I'll follow you. What do you got? I can tell that you're a religious leader, you're a rabbi. The next verse says that Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were from the town Bethsaida. They had this commonality. Andrew and Peter were also disciples. But here's what I want you to hone in on, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, hey, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip took the time to find someone. Apparently he had a friendship or some kind of relationship with Nathanael. And he says, hey, we have found the one that Moses was talking about in the law. So they were Jews, and they all grew up in their schools and religion learnings, and they knew that the prophets in the Old Testament were talking about this Messiah, this Holy One, this Son of God that might deliver them from the hands of the Romans. But it's going to be special, like Godhood, divine. We found the guy. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. They would call people from Nazareth Nazarenes. And this is Jesus, the Nazarene guy, and they would try to identify him by their father's name, the son of Joseph, you know, the carpenter guy, Joseph. Now look at Nathanael's response. Can anything good come from there? In other words, who wants to hang out with the Nazarene dude? The Nazareth town was kind of lower class, maybe blue collar, and maybe there was a rivalry between the people in Bethsaida and Nazareth. I don't know, they didn't like each other. Some scholars say that Nazareth housed a Roman garrison of soldiers, and the Jews hated the Romans and soldiers, and he's like, can anything come from that? You want me to go and see and learn from this guy from Nazareth? I don't think so. And then he says, just come and see. he said. Just come, take a try. It's almost like, you know, just try pickleball one time, okay? It's not that hard. You're not going to look stupid. Just give it a try. Come and see. So Nathanael went. And it says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Oh, so Nathanael's walking up there, and all of a sudden this guy says, now you're a true Israelite. You're no deceit. In other words, you're really diligent about your faith. You're really diligent about your religion. I could tell you're honest, you're focused. And Nathanael's like, yeah, that's me. All my life, I really try to be faithful to my religion and my heritage, and I try to be super honest. And this stranger guy knows my heart, and it pulls me out, picks me out. And he says, well, how do you know me? And Jesus goes on and says, well, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael's like, well, I was under a fig tree. I didn't see you. How do you know that? And it starts clicking with him. This guy might have some supernatural powers. This guy might be the divine. This guy might be the Messiah he's talking about. And somewhere he crossed a line. And he says, Rabbi, that means teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. I'm convinced. My friend Philip invited me to come and see. And something happened in my life. And then Jesus starts speaking into his life. Oh, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He added, verily, truly, I tell you, you will see the heavens open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So, and Nathanael's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But God, Jesus knew what he's talking about, because Nathanael would be one of the 12 disciples, and he would experience some incredible divine miracles and some shifting in the kingdom. Heavens would open up. People would be healed. There would be angels. There would be some incredible spiritual dynamics that would happen in his life, through his life and Jesus' ministry. He had no idea. Now, what can we apply the story to ourselves? If we are answering that question, what time is it? Well, it's time to go here, near, and far. So personally, how do we do that? Well, we see, first of all, Philip purposely tried to reach out to this friend of Nathanael. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in answering this question, to go, who can you reach out to be your one? Your Nathanael that you might be able to disciple or influence or influence towards Christ. Here at Faithbrook, we have a mission to lead people into a new and thriving life in Christ Jesus. And so behind the scenes, we are asking our leadership, we ask our staff, I ask myself, who's my one? Who is one person besides maybe my family that I have a burden for? That I care about, that I'd like to build a relationship and maybe sometime make a disciple, influence them towards Christ. Who is that person? When I did identify one, just like Philip, you have to invite them to somewhere, come and see, to engage them somehow, that there's a bond, there is a relationship building that you can build into their life. Now, when Christ followers do this, there's a little bit of resistance because it's not always that easy. People out in the world are not just clamoring to get to church, and they're not clamoring to read their Bible and say, I just want to be a Jesus follower, right? They're like, oh, just like Nathanael was resistant when he said, well, what can come out of Nazareth? Really? I don't know if I want to do that. You can expect your one and some people that you're trying to befriend and influence not to have that big a desire, maybe. They might have some skepticism. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they're agnostic. I don't know, but just expect that. But just keep praying. Just keep believing. Just keep befriending these people. And hopefully you can invite them to something and say, come and see. Hey, why don't we just hang out? I'm not here to preach to you. I'm not trying to ram Jesus down into you. I just want to be your friend. Let's come on over and let's do barbecue. Hey, let's go golfing together. Let's maybe play pickleball. Let's take a walk or have our kids come together. Come and see. Let's do something. So we see this finding this one connection. Who's my one? Get past myself. And is there something I can stretch to invite them to, not necessarily church, that we can have more time together And I can know their heart. They can know my heart, my family. Eventually, just like Nathaniel, they might cross a line and say, I'm convinced. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to connect to that Jesus. And what's really cool is that Jesus believes in every person, just like he did with Nathaniel. When Jesus said, you will see greater things. This is the heart of God. This is why we hopefully will have some motivation to find our one that we can pray into. The same reason, maybe we're like, hey, why don't you come and try pickleball? It's really helped me, and it's helped me in many different ways. The same way that hopefully we say, man, well, I got a desire to introduce you to Jesus and Christendom, because it's helped me. It's helped me in my family, in my mind, in my anxiety. And before you know it, there can be life change that Jesus does in our life. But we, who call ourselves followers, have to be proactive. We have to go. Hopefully in our heart, we realize that Jesus makes everything better, including us. Jesus makes things better, including us. What do I mean by that? Doesn't mean that life gets easy. I didn't say that Jesus makes life easy, not at all. What I mean by that is when it's tough times and there's grief and there's problems, it's Jesus who's going to be our rock. It's going to be Jesus who's going to be our good shepherd. It's going to be Jesus who holds our tears. It's going to be Jesus who's in the darkness and the dungeons with us. This is the suffering Christ. Now, there's a lot of bad things that are happening around our world today. There's a lot of anxious things and hurt. People are grieving. People are losing jobs. People are nervous. This is the Jesus that we want to try to influence people to influence. Because we're not talking about some vague religion, you know, like Buddhism. Well, Buddhism is you try to meditate, right? And you try to just get rid of all those anxiousness and desires. And hopefully if you do that well enough and just kind of focus in, you'll hit nirvana and you'll just be in this limbo state of having nothing going on in your brain, basically. There's nothing personal about that. It's just a religion. It's just a brain mechanics to get us just kind of almost just numb. What I'm talking about is a living Christ who personally loves us, who came to this earth and said, I'm going to be human. I'm going to suffer like you. I'm going to know about violence. I'm going to know about death. I'm going to know about agony. I'm talking about a Jesus that when the people were grieving, he was weeping. About Jesus allowed himself to be nailed on the cross and walks with us in our suffering and our disappointing. This is why Jesus makes everything better, because we have a real life God that walks with us and can sympathize with us. So we're not melting down and giving up on life. He makes things better. Jesus also helps us with our insecurities. So a lot of times we all have some insecurities. We've been wounded. We have had failures. We have problems. So Jesus, just like when he said to Nathaniel, I believe in you. I see things in your life that I'm going to do through your life. You have no idea. This is the Jesus that I'm preaching about today that we want to introduce. Because Jesus, if we allow line up our life with his life, before you know it, things start making sense. Before you know it, there's confidence. There's healing. The Bible talks about transformation. You start realizing your purpose in life. You start realizing, oh, it's not all about me. And people are blessed around you. And there's joy that can crawl up in your heart, in your mind, because you're like, hey, Jesus makes things better. Now I know my purpose. He's with me. And ultimately, Jesus makes everything better, starting with our sin, because we have all fallen short of what God was hoping for. Spiritually, we know that we cannot get good enough and nice enough to qualify for heaven. The Bible says that we're just not that good. That's why Jesus had to come and go on the cross, because he would pay for our sins. And by faith, we can ask Christ to come into our life and say, God, I realize I've blown it. I know that I've hurt people, hurt myself, hurt you. Please forgive me. And by his amazing grace, he so loved us, he says, I'm willing to do that. I took your sins on the cross. Be free. Live whole. You are forgiven. You are my child of God. And before you know it, life gets a little bit better in your mind. In the way you navigate life, Jesus makes everything better, including us. so that we don't always have to be in tension. We don't always have to be angry. We don't always have to be prideful. We don't always have to be greedy and lustful and protective. We can be whole and free in Christ Jesus. People like to be around us. We're better spouses. We're better fathers and parents because Jesus makes everything better, including us. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said to Nathanael, you're going to see greater things. You're going to experience things because I'm going to build into your life. Walk with me. Walk with me. Well, thank God he had a friend named Philip who said, hey, come and see. I know you're like not convinced yet. Just hang out with me. I want to introduce you to Jesus. This is why here at Faithbrook, we want to challenge you this summer to do something like Philip did, okay? To find someone that you can befriend and have an activity with. We're going to call it the One Connection Challenge. The One Connection Challenge. So we want everyone to be thinking about who's one person I can befriend. Who's one person I can be praying for. Maybe it's someone you met at the gym. Maybe it's your mailman. Maybe it's your hairstylist. And someone that you can just talk to and get to know them and befriend them. And then take a step to say, let's do something that we can connect with, that hang out together. I'm not talking about inviting them to church necessarily. Like, hey, what do you like? Oh, I like pickleball, or I like crafting, or I like singing, or I like the twins. Okay, let's go to the twins. Let's do something before you know it. You have this relationship that you are coming together. Now, in the next coming weeks, we're going to have the One Challenge board, and we're going to have some post-it notes. And we are praying and hoping for at least 50 different connections. We're wanting you to write down your connection, which you did with your one this summer. It's going to go all the way to September. And we're going to just put those post-it notes. Maybe it's going to say, I invited someone over for a deck party. Or we went fishing together. Or I took a walk with my one. We don't need names. We just want to see, hey, 70 different encounters, activities, connections that people were proactive of reaching that one person. So I heard an example of this the other day. I was invited to this dinner with these two families, and they were sharing about their faith journey, especially this one family. They met because this Christian mother, wife, her name is Amanda, she had a physical issue with her forearm. She was a tennis coach, and all of a sudden she got a lot of weakness and a lot of pain. Nobody could figure it out. Doctors couldn't figure it out. They said, well, you probably need some therapy. Maybe the local physical therapist can help you out. She makes an appointment. She goes in there, and the physical therapist's name is Bonnie. She's really good at what she does, and she's doing some therapy with Amanda, the Christian. Now, Amanda has a heart for Jesus, and she wants to be like Philip, and she wants to find a Nathanael and someone that she can influence. But first, she's just not going to just, you know, throw the book at her and say, you know, Jesus, you should be. He's just going to befriend, just befriend that one. Starts seeing this physical therapist, Bonnie, over the weeks to get some therapy. Before they know it, they're striking up a friendship. So Amanda is asking Bonnie about her life. I know you're working on my arm, whatever, trying to figure it out. Where are you from? Oh, you're not from Minnesota. Oh, well, I'm not from Minnesota either. And yeah, that makes us odd or whatever. And, you know, how many kids you have? What's your kids do? Oh, my kid. And your husband? Oh, next thing you know, there's some trust being built. There's camaraderie being built. And eventually, Amanda says to her husband, we need to invite Bonnie, the physical therapist, over. We need to take the next step and invite them because this Christian couple wants them to be introduced to Jesus, and they were watching church online in the morning. And so they asked this Bonnie and her husband, who were not churchgoers. They didn't have much faith at all, good people, professional people, whatever. Come on over, and we'll have brunch together, and we'll watch church. They also invited them over to, I think, a Vikings party or something, a little cookout kind of deal, and they did it. This physical therapist, strangers came over to this Amanda and her husband, and they struck up this conversation. You know, the physical therapist is like, you know, these people are not too odd, not too weird. They're kind of like us, right? They're not overboard, right? Let's go back. And they said, we're going to watch church again on Sunday. And okay, that wasn't too bad. We're kind of interested in Christianity. We don't know too much, but let's go. And they did that for a couple of weeks. And then Amanda and her husband said, well, we're going to go down the street to a local church. You want to go with us? And they're like, oh, Well, we haven't done that for a long time. What do you think, kids? I'm sure. Okay, well, because they trusted Amanda and her husband, built that relationship, they said, sure, we'll try out church. We've been kind of watching it online. And they went down, and they experienced church and heard ministries and songs and stuff. It was like, hey, that wasn't bad. Meanwhile, they're like, hey, I feel like God is really working in our life. This physical therapist, Bonnie, and their kids, they're getting involved in other teen groups in the city. And the oldest child, he's in a Bible study, and they're like, we got no Bible. Maybe God is working in our life. So the reason they invited me is because this Amanda and her husband is leaving the state, and they like them to connect to maybe me to help them go to the next level. And so I'm sitting at dinner with them. I'm listening to their story, and it's amazing. And the Amanda's like, yeah, I had a problem. And this is how I met Bonnie, my physical therapist. And we hit it off and blah, blah, blah. And Amanda was saying, you know, nobody could figure out my arm problem. But Bonnie here really was diligent about her job. And she said, well, I don't think your issue is right here. Your pain is presenting right here, but it could be something up in here, something's pinched, and I can't see that. So why don't you go get a scan, and maybe we can find out the source of your pain. So Amanda said, okay, sure. So she goes and has a scan, and they found a mass up in her chest that she never knew about. And the doctor's like, that's not good. That's not just causing your pain down here, but there's a lot of other things threatening your life, and so we need to get that out. And she went to surgery, and she got that mass out. Eventually, her arm got a lot better, and she's like, yeah, this lady right here practically almost saved my life. If she wouldn't have said, man, there might be something different, it's not here, and her talent and her expertise helped me, and I'm better, and I'm doing well. And I'm looking at this Bonnie, and I'm like, that's an amazing story. Good for you. And I said to Bonnie, I said, if the Bible is true, if Jesus is true, that he created us in his image, that he created you, Bonnie, he knew that you'd grow up and be a fabulous physical therapist. Your talent, your education, your personality would be blessing people, healing people, helping Amanda right here save her life or by taking the next steps. If this is true, this is why you were designed for God. This is your blessing. This is your career. It's bigger than you and just a paycheck. It's super. It's the kingdom of God. And her eyes got a little weepy. I could tell. Because in her mind, she's like connecting the dots. She's like, yes, I know there's a God out there. I know I'm good at what I do. And it's more than just my occupation. It's a God thing. And God's been knocking on my door and my heart and my husband. The husband's like, you know, I'm a professional too. And we got these kids. But I'm wondering if there's more to life. And then I met Amanda's husband. And we were talking. And I'm interested in Christianity. I'm interested in the Bible. I don't know much. But I'd like to be taught. And this is where it's like, hey, Pastor Jim, can you help these people? Can you love on these people and help them? And it's like, yeah, we're kind of hungry, and we'd like to know more. And you could tell God was working in their life. And I got to share that God knows you, Bonnie. Just like when Jesus said, Nathaniel, I know you. You don't know me, but I've been watching you. I know your heart. I know you're very sincere. And Nathaniel, you have no idea what I want to do through your life. I'm going to build into your life. And that's what I shared with Bonnie and her husband, that God has plans for her. This is the life-saving, living gospel that makes life better, and including us in our life. And I said, man, I'll be staying in touch with you. And I just congratulated Amanda and her husband. They did a fabulous job of just finding their one, doing some connection activities, not just the church. And this is how we make disciples and answer that call. Of what time is it? It's time to go. So why don't we conclude this part of just praying together, if you would. Pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for this story of Philip being willing to find one person, this friend of Nathaniel, who was far from you, who didn't really care about you, but because Philip took the time to engage and build into Nathaniel, he was introduced to you, and it changed his life, and you did some amazing things through his life. I pray today, God, that you would help us individually to answer that call to go find someone, maybe at the gym, maybe in our neighborhood, maybe a classmate's parents, who knows, that we can just befriend and just be an example of Christ and maybe take that next step to say, hey, would you like to come over to our house? Maybe let's go hang out together somewhere to build that relationship to influence and make them a disciple of Christ Jesus. We need your help by your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to do that, to adjust our life, to adjust our calendar, to invite someone to an activity. You can change us, you can heal us and forgive us. And we hope for this and pray for this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person, or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.